Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Welcome to the podcast.
Well, hey guys, this would be teaching number two, in this whatever I'm doing. Started last week talking about thoughts. I have since our last video, as far as the teaching video goes, I have started a podcast. I can share that information later. I've also started a YouTube channel where these videos will be on YouTube as well as Facebook. So, anyhow, I'm open to feedback. If you listen to my stuff, if not, don't worry about it. If you do, though, I'm open to feedback. I would like to hear some people's thoughts, or even if there's questions, maybe you have questions you want me to dive into, or whatever. But anyhow, so we're going to continue talking about thoughts. We ended last week talking about this, and this is still what I'm talking about with our teenagers. And as I mentioned last teaching video I did, all I'm trying to do at this moment is take what I teach to my teenagers on Wednesday night and then bring it to here, to teach it here to a larger audience or whatever. I don't know. I could also use this for our teens if we ever have bad weather and can't meet together. Then this would be an option of a way to still keep that momentum going. Because momentum, once you get it going, it's one of those things you don't want to let up. You don't want to just skip a week or what have you, because sometimes the momentum that you have is harder to get back when you start missing and canceling things. Sometimes life happens and you don't have a choice, but that's just one of them. So this episode will be posted on the podcast probably in a couple weeks. My game plan is hopefully to do a podcast per week to get it uploaded. I'm not a professional at this. This is something totally new. It's a new territory for me. So if anybody has suggestions of how to make things better, I'm all for it. I'm just hoping, again, this is not something to boast me. It's if I help one person, then it was worth it to me. And that's really my biggest thing, is I'm coming to realize I have a voice, and I'm going to use my voice to proclaim the gospel of Christ. But I want to start with this. 60,000 thoughts. 60, you heard me, 60,000 thoughts. That is the number of thoughts the average person approximately has per day. And I want to go back to the whole thing that started this, and it was the idea of seeing the Facebook post of thoughts become words, words become actions, actions become habits, habits create your character, and character leads you to your destiny. So basically, ultimately, if you want to fix your, or you want to change the trajectory, I guess, of your destiny, you have to start with your thoughts. You have to start with your mindset. That is, again, why Romans 12:2, to go back, and I want to go back and read that, so let me pull those notes up real quick. Romans 12:2, and I'm going to read the Passion Translation. It simply says this: stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. And if you remember back to the last video, I talked about if you've ever been around renovations, any type of renovations that you have, it can cause chaos, it can cause stress, and all sorts of things. I know this because my wife and I have done this the past in 2024, and it was chaos. It was and not saying anything bad about the company that did it. It's just the process of renovations. But this is how you have to renew your mind. You have to allow the Holy Spirit, and you have to come into agreement with the Holy Spirit and allow Him to totally reform your thinking, to tear out things that does not belong, that's contrary to what God says about you and what the Father says about you and declares over you, and help you to come into agreement with the truth of what He says about you. And that is much easier said than done, but I promise you, the finished work of that looks much better than where you started at. But continue with Romans 12. It says, a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. And I'm sitting here reading this, and I feel like maybe I should stop at some point, and maybe I do it the next video, and just talk about things such as humility and pride, and what the difference would be here. And some different wording and stuff of this. Maybe take a deeper dive, because here's the thing, I'm not in a hurry with this. So if we need to slow down, backtrack, and kind of get a better foundation, because foundation is going to be key as we move forward. So to maybe get a better foundation for us as far as our thoughts and different things of that. That may be what I go for next. I'll just kind of take the Holy Spirit and let Him kind of lead this. So. Now, let's pick back up from last week, and let's start with this week. I'm going to use Baxter Kruger's phrase again, that behavior follows perceived identity. How you see yourself, and we talked about this last week, how you see yourself is very critical. That's why you need to know how the Father sees you and come into agreement with how He sees you and how He feels about you. That is the key to walking this out, is allowing Holy Spirit, walking with Holy Spirit, and coming into agreement with what He has to say about you. This is metanoia. Again, we have the word repent in our Bibles. It should never have been translated repent. It's the word metanoia. It means to come back to your senses, come back to your original design and your original blueprint that God has established in your life. And I read this the other day, and I believe it fits for this teaching and this journey that we're on and all that. And it said this: all sin is a belief that produces an action that is incongruent with our identity. I talked with my teenagers about this last week, about how it seems like the church wants to go after the fruit of that we see and not root issues. I asked him, I believe it was this past week, I asked him, I said, what do you call sin? And I'll let you think about that for a moment. You can pause this if you'd like and just think. If someone was to ask you what is sin, what would you begin to ramble off? Because they begin to say things such as lying and having idols and different things such as that, which is exactly what I expected them to say. But those things are not sin. That is the fruit of sin in your life. The actual sin is you begin to buy into a lie that the enemy has spoken to you that goes contrary and contradicts what God has said about you. And when you begin to believe something that it goes against what God has said about you, every time, that's the original sin, and it will every time produce fruit that we would call and classify as sin. I hope that makes sense. So I'm going to read it again, that all sin is a belief. It's a belief in your mind that produces an action that is incongruent with our or your identity. Sin produces the fruit. And it seems, and this is what I told them, it seems like the church wants to focus on what is produced. It wants to focus on the fruit and never deal on the root issues of things. And I believe when Jesus walked this earth, when He began to speak to people, He was beginning to speak to root issues of their sin. And not just simply the fruit. He would ask them hard questions. He would say things that didn't make sense all the time. But I believe what He was doing was trying to speak to the root of the problem and not just deal with the fruit that we see. Because if you don't fix the root issue, we'll never be able to fix the fruit that is seen in your life. One of the things that we ended on last week was the truth that we have been given the mind of Christ. It's according to Philippians 2:16. And that's something that I don't know that we understand. I know I personally don't understand and grab hold of the magnitude of having the mind of Christ inside of us and accessible to us and by us. But that's the fact, is we have been given the mind of Christ on the inside of us that we can tap into if we're willing to listen. So I'm going to go back to Philippians to learn kind of how to think tonight. I will talk about that in just a moment. But I'm going to go back to this 60,000 thoughts per day fact that I learned when studying this. And I don't know how they figured this stuff out. I don't know what techniques they have and all of that. But it says the average person has approximately 60,000 thoughts per day. And if you think about that, I mean, that's a high number. The concerning part of that 60,000 number is that they say 75% of that are negative thoughts. It went on to say 95%, I believe it was, were repetitive thoughts. So that means if you've got 60,000 thoughts, 95% are repetitive and 75% is negative, you're having a lot of repeating negative thoughts throughout your day. And here's the thing. You can't control 60,000 thoughts that come into your mind. I mean, if it was just 10% of that, 6,000 thoughts, I would have to still say you can't control 6,000 thoughts that come through your mind per day. Like this, that is crazy to think about that kind of number. But it makes sense now, even more so, of why Scripture tells us to renew your mind with the Word of God. Allow the Holy Spirit to totally renovate your thought process and your thinking. Your mindset is the compilation of your thoughts. Your thoughts, again, we learned last week, ultimately lead you to your destiny. Your thoughts have incredible power to shape your life and the lives of others because your thoughts and interpretations of circumstances directly influence your beliefs and ultimately influence your actions. Think about fear. I did some different studies as far as fear and anxiety goes. Fear is experienced in your mind. This is fascinating to me. Fear is experienced in your mind, but it triggers a strong physical reaction in your body. As soon as you recognize fear, the small organ in the middle of your brain, I'm not in the medical field, I'm not trying to pronounce these words. But as soon as you recognize fear, that small organ in the middle of your brain goes to work. It alerts your nervous system, which sets your body's fear response into motion. Stress hormones like cortisol and adrenaline are released. Your blood pressure and heart rate increase. You start breathing faster. Even your blood flow changes. Blood actually flows from your heart and into your limbs, making it easier for you to start throwing punches or run for your life. It's preparing for what we call the fight or the flight. As some parts of your brain are revving up, others are shutting down. And when that little organ in the brain senses fear, the cerebral cortex, that area of the brain that harnesses reasoning and judgment, becomes impaired. So fear impairs you. So now it's difficult to make good decisions, and you can't think clearly when you're in fear. It starts in the mind, but it affects every part of your body. No wonder why Jesus repeatedly says, "Do not fear. Have no fear, for I am with you." You got to get out of that cycle of fear. Anxiety was another one. It's yet another thing that affects the mind. They say anxiety is considered a psychological condition with a strong neurological basis, meaning it primarily manifests through mental experiences, but it is heavily influenced by brain activity and neurotransmitter imbalances within the nervous system. Essentially, it's a complex interaction between the mind and the brain. or the body and the mind. So fear and anxiety, that's just two examples, guys. Two examples of things that can attack you in your mind, but it affects your entire body. It infects all sorts of parts of your body and internally different things that, I mean, it just messes you up. But it helps us understand why God tells us to renew our minds consistently. I mean, we don't see Jesus walking around in fear. We don't see Jesus battling anxiety. So there has to be something that we're not getting here to cause us to become more like Christ, to where fear and anxiety does not get to dictate our lives. And again, a lot of this stuff is easier said than done. It's easy to talk about people that have anxiety, but until you've actually been around somebody and understood that it's not a choice, I mean, it can cripple you just like that. And it's not something that they're excited about. It's a stronghold. It's something that messes with them. And you can't beat people down because they deal with it. I mean, come on now. Take my glasses off. I want to read Philippians 4. And I'm going to read 6 through 8. I'm going to read starting with the Passion Translation and we'll kind of take it from there. But it says, don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day. And this goes back to a conversation I've had with teens before, when the scripture talks about praying continuously. We all know we can't go through our days praying out loud consistently. But what you can do is consistently walk with an attitude of prayer. You can consistently saturate your life in prayer so that you have a prayerful mindset throughout your entire day. Keeping in communication with heaven and allowing Holy Spirit to have, and people that have walked with the Spirit and know there's a lot of times you can have an internal dialogue with Holy Spirit. In fact, my pastor even preached about this recently, or said this in one of his sermons. While you're talking to someone, you can have an internal dialogue with Holy Spirit in that same same encounter. Well, if you're ministering and preaching, you can have an internal dialogue with Holy Spirit while you're ministering and you're preaching. But it says, be saturated in prayer through each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell Him every detail of your life. Then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will guard your heart and guard your mind through Christ Jesus. Keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real. This goes back to having that attitude of prayer. As you're walking through your day and you're battling these thoughts, keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real. It goes on to say, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind, and fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising Him always. Now, to kind of wrap this up, there's other scriptures I could read. I've got Amplified. Let me read this out of the mirror, too. I think this is powerful. Let no anxiety about anything distract you. Rather, translate moments into prayerful worship and soak your request in gratitude before God. And in this place of worship and gratitude, you will witness how the peace of God within you echoes the awareness of your oneness in Christ Jesus beyond the reach of any thought that could possibly unsettle you. Just like the sentry guard secures a city, watching out in advance for the first signs of any possible threat, your deepest feelings and the tranquility of your thoughts are fully guarded there. Now let this be your conclusive reasoning. Consider that which is true about everyone as evidenced in Christ. Live overwhelmed. Now catch this. This is powerful. Live overwhelmed by God's opinion of you. Acquaint yourselves with the revelation of righteousness. Realize God's likeness in you. Make it your business to declare mankind's redeemed innocence. Think friendship. Discover how famous everyone is in the light of the gospel. mankind is in God's limelight. Ponder how elevated you are in Christ. Live overwhelmed by God's opinion of you. Now let's go back to that 60,000 number. And I would take just 10%, the 6,000. You can't control 60,000 thoughts that come through your mind. That's something you can't do. So stop trying. Just because you had an ugly thought come through, don't let that define who you are. It's just part of living, part of humanity. You can't control the thoughts that come in. What you do get to control, what you do have responsibility of, is what thought you actually dwell on. That is your responsibility. You get the choice to make each and every day as those 60,000 thoughts flood your mind. You get to decide what thought I'm going to dwell on. And when you're thinking about that, you need to take the thoughts that come in. And when the thought begins to try to attach itself to you, put it to the Philippians test, as I like to say. Let's go back to the passion and look at it. Is this thought authentic? Is it real? We play a lot of what-if games in our mindsets. What if? What if this? What if that? What if this goes wrong? What if it don't? What if actually everything works the way it's supposed to? What if we actually understood that he who began a good work in us is faithful and just to see it to completeness? What if we actually believe that? What if this actually works out this time? What if the promotion actually comes through? What if the healing actually happens this time? What if the breakthrough is actually happening while you're talking right now? We can play the what-if scenario, but flip the what-if scenario to the positive side. So is it authentic? Is it real? Is it honorable? Is it admirable? Is it beautiful? Is it respectful? Is it pure? Is it holy? Is it merciful and kind? And if it's not, guys, that's the key. If it doesn't meet that criteria, if it doesn't meet God's opinion about you, if it's having this beat-down mentality and looking down on yourself, then it's not God's opinion of you. Then that is the thought that you kick to the curb. This is the thought that you get rid of. And you find the next thought. The thought that declares his goodness over you. The thought that comes through and proclaims who you are in him. The thought that comes through and proclaims who you are, how he sees you. That's the thought you begin to breathe on and give life to. The other thoughts that come through and don't line up with this, stop dwelling on it. Move on. Get out of your own head. This is how important thoughts are. And I don't know if I got to this with our teenagers last Wednesday, but I'm going to get to this and then I'll wrap this thing up. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, it says, "For although we live in the natural realm, we do not wage a military campaign, employing human weapons, using manipulation to achieve our aims. Instead, our spiritual weapons are energized with divine power to effectively dismantle the defenses behind which people hide. We can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture like prisoners of war." Now, this is the key I want you to hear. "We capture, like prisoners of war, every thought that every thought that insists that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One." I'll say that's what it is. "We capture, like prisoners of war, every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One." When those thoughts come through, you have the responsibility as a child of God to capture every thought that comes in. And if that thought does not line up with his word, like a prisoner of war, you insist that it bow to the obedience of the Anointed One. You insist that it bow down to the Christ in you. And don't give life to it. That's the key, guys. And that's where I'm going to stop this video tonight. I feel like that's enough to chew on for a whole another week until I get to do another one of these. That's enough that you want. Take the thoughts that come in. Go read Philippians. Go study it for yourself. It's Philippians 4, 6 through 8 that tells you what to think about. keep your thoughts continually fixed on things that's authentic, or real, honorable, admirable, beautiful, respectful, pure, holy, merciful, and kind, and fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising Him always. Every thought you can't control, so stop trying to do that. Get out of that. You can't do that, guys. You can't control the thoughts that come through your mind, but you do get to control what thoughts you dwell on. You get to control what thoughts you give life to. You're talking to someone, I have no idea, clearly, I think I said this beginning, I have no idea what I'm doing as far as a podcast and even this. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm just trusting the Holy Spirit to lead me, to guide me, to help teach me. That's all I know to do. I know He's given me a voice. I'm just trying to use it. And I could sit here and allow myself to be defeated and think I'm not good enough for this. Trust me, while my wife does have to hear that sometimes, and she has to kick me and remind, not literally kick me, but has to remind me who I am and that I am capable of doing things such as this. I was so proud, I believe it was Friday night, when I actually did the whole podcast thing. I actually downloaded my own podcast on Apple Podcasts. I was quite proud. You can say what you want, but I was proud of myself. Leave me alone. It's my podcast. But anyhow, take your thoughts. Renew them. Get in His Word. You can't, this goes back to last week. You can't change your thoughts if you don't change what you're putting inside of you. Find out what He says about you. How does He see you? Get along with Him. Pray. Say, Lord, show me how You see me. What do You see in me? And let Him answer you, guys. And then every thought that comes through, you begin to take control over it. You decide which one you give life to. Father, I thank You. I thank You for every listener. I thank You for anyone who watches this and has kept up with this. I pray that You would infiltrate their minds with what You say about them, with God thoughts today. Show them how You see them. Reveal Yourself to them in them. And we praise You, Jesus. You guys be blessed. Have a blessed week. I hope this ministers to you. Give me a like, love, whatever the things are called, just so I can know that there's people watching this, if it meant something to you. I appreciate it. Again, if it makes a difference in one person's life, then it's worth every moment I spend right here at this desk. Be blessed, guys.